Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this final Sunday of Easter is found in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. 12 through 26, rather. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mountain called the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they entered the city, they went to the upstairs room where they were staying. Peter and John were there, also James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All of them kept praying together with one mind, along with the women, with Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, when the group there numbered about 120 people, Peter stood up among the brothers and said, "Gentlemen, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David about Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. Judas was counted as one of us and was given a share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with what he was paid for his wicked act. When he fell headfirst, his middle burst open and all his intestines spilled out. This became known to all the residents of Jerusalem, and so in their own language, that field was called Akeldama, which means field of blood. Indeed, it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his residence be deserted, let there be no one dwelling in it, and let someone else take his position.' Therefore, it is necessary that one of the men who accompanied us during the entire time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from his baptism by John until the day Jesus was taken up from us, become a witness with us of his resurrection." They proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take the place in this apostolic ministry from which Judas turned away to go to his own place." Then they assigned lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was counted with the 11 apostles. This is our text. Dear people of God, this reading is one of our new readings in our new schedule according to our new hymnal. Never preached on this before. I've always wanted to, because I've always had a problem with this story. The problem is that to me, the disciples acted out of line. They did this before Passover, before they had the full understanding of the Holy Spirit. And they did something that God undoes later on. Paul was clearly God's choice to be Judas' replacement among the disciples. The disciples, in doing this, don't really give God an option to say neither. They just come out and say, "Lord, show us which of these two you have chosen to take the place of Judas." That's a pretty bold way to talk to the Lord. And maybe that's the whole point. Anyway, when I voiced my problem and my questions to one of my professors, he reminded me in the most wonderful way that I am not an apostle. They don't need my permission to do what they did. Just learn the lesson and act boldly in the Lord. Now, the disciples had been hiding. Their Lord and Master had been arrested, crucified, and now they had seen him alive. But that didn't make them more adventurous or make them any less scared. They still thought that the people who got him were coming to get them. So they're still hiding. Notice, in that upper room, all of them huddled together. The disciples, those wonderful, faithful women, and Jesus' believing brothers. And Luke here lists the remaining disciples, minus Judas Iscariot, of course. Now, this is one of four lists of the disciples in the Bible. Then a couple of the names are changed because just like now, just like other people of their time, like Saul and Paul, people go by different names. Peter was named Simon at birth, but everybody in those days called him Peter, the name the Lord Jesus had given him. Luke uses the formal name for Bartholomew, which means son of Tolmai, but everybody called him Nathanael. Luke also mentions Judas, and he calls him Judas, son of James. That's the other Judas. He will very soon change his name to Thaddeus, because nobody wanted to be named Judas anymore. Luke tells us that they were all hiding in the upper room, even after ascension. That all lines up the book of Acts for Luke to tell us in the next chapter what will happen at Pentecost, when they were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. But Luke tells us in his gospel that after ascension, the group did meet in the temple to worship the Lord Jesus. So they're hiding and they're out and about a bit. But they really don't know what to do. I find it super interesting that Peter says that they have to get a replacement for Judas in this ministry. Well, what ministry? They weren't doing anything. Jesus has promised them that something else is coming. He has promised them the Counselor, that is his Holy Spirit, who will give them understanding and boldness so they can get to work. So Peter knows something is going to happen. He just doesn't know what exactly, but something. And in that atmosphere of fear and anticipation and questions, the disciples take this very bold action. And they don't just go off half-cocked. They did their homework. Luke tells us that they were gathered in that upper room and that they were praying together with one mind. And what's the best way to pray? We pray with the Bible open. See, we pray, we ask our things of God, and then we read. And he tells us the answers. He tells us what he wants us to know. And the disciples did that. And in so doing, in searching the scriptures, they found some very interesting passages. You know, here's where the disciples do something that I'm not allowed to do. They search the scriptures, and they found passages that they then apply directly to their situation. Now, we are supposed to search the scriptures, and we are supposed to see the Lord Jesus on every page of the Bible. But the disciples found Judas in some very strange places. The first one's very clear. The first one they found because Jesus already told them. Jesus used this passage in the upper room to identify Judas as the one. It's so obvious, in fact, that Peter doesn't even quote it, if you noticed. Peter just says, as David said long time ago, and you guys all remember the passage. But in case you don't remember the passage, it's Psalm 41, verse 9. A man whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has raised up his heel to step on me. Then Peter retold the highlights of the story, where Judas hanged himself, and either the rope broke or he slipped out of the noose or something, and he falls head first, belly first, and he slices his guts open and they spill everywhere. It's a horrible thing to imagine, but it's a well-deserved death for this terrible guy. And then Peter goes on to reveal what they found in their search of the scriptures. He says that Psalm 69, verse 25, where David is talking about the enemies of him and the Lord, how they would one day be destroyed and how their camp would be left empty, applies directly to this Judas situation. May his residence be deserted, let there be no one dwelling in it. And they found that Psalm 109, verse 8, where David is talking about how evil people should be punished by the Lord, also applies directly to this Judas situation. Let someone else take his position. Do you see why I'm a bit confused about what the disciples did here? They are the apostles. They can do this. They used the scripture. They prayed earnestly for God's help and guidance, and they acted boldly. Good for them. And they put forward two men who would fit their requirements that they made up for a new apostle. Barsabbas, whom we never hear again, never hear about again in the Bible, and Matthias, whom we also never hear about again in the Bible. Now, we like to vote for things because we're Americans. Paul, when he wanted pastors appointed in certain cities, just told men like Titus to appoint elders in the church and get to work. But the Old Testament way to pick workers in the church, and the way that the disciples used here, was to cast lots. Now, this could be dice, this could be bones, and I also read where this could be shards of pottery, that they would take a whole bunch of pieces of pottery, old pottery, and they would write the two names on it a bunch of times, and then put the pottery in some kind of container and shake it. And then the first name to finally pop out is the one that they would choose. That way of doing it actually fits this line very well here, and the lot fell to Matthias. Well, however they did it, and they believed that the Lord had chosen Matthias to be Judas' replacement. And I want to say it very clearly, this was a legitimate thing to do. They needed a replacement, they asked the Lord to bless their efforts, and they got a replacement. So the disciples acted very boldly to get this replacement. And I think that I've learned a few lessons from looking at this story anew. First of all, the Lord allowed them to do it this way to keep us from getting too caught up on the numbers in the Bible. Numbers in the Bible are symbolic and they are simple, but they trip up so many people in the world. 3 is the number of God, obviously, our triune God. 4 is the number of man on the earth. 10 is the number of completeness. 12 is the number of the church. It's obvious. Now, that doesn't mean we have to have 12 districts in our synod. And you also can't use math to try to figure out when the end of the world will be. The numbers in the Bible are there, are screwy enough to keep us from pushing them too far. Now, the number we are looking at here is the number 12. Jesus said that the 12 disciples would judge the 12 tribes of Israel on the last day. Isn't that nice? It means that the lowly disciples would reign with Christ forever and ever in his glory. That's it. Don't push that picture any farther than that, because if you do, you'll get lost and you'll get very frustrated. Because how many tribes were there? Well, that's easy. There's 12 sons of Jacob, so there's 12 tribes of Israel. But there's not. When you count it, there's 13 tribes of Israel, because Joseph was given 2 tribes for his 2 sons. So the numbers don't work already. And now here, how many apostles are there? Well, easy, 12, except it's not 12. Judas was gone. Judas is certainly not in heaven. He's not going to be there to judge the living and the dead along with the others. So who's the 12th? Is it Matthias? Would he be the 12th apostle as he was chosen here? Or would it be the greatest apostle, the Apostle Paul? And if it's the Apostle Paul, then all of this stuff is a mistake. See what happens when you push the numbers too far? Don't do it. Don't get worked up about numbers in the Bible. They're all symbolic. They're there to help you and to comfort you, not to confuse you. Next lesson I learned is that the disciples show us how to pray boldly. Jesus told them to on Tuesday of Holy Week. And the episode with the withered fig tree, Jesus said, "Have faith in God. Amen, I tell you. Whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for them. Jesus told them to pray boldly, not doubt. Ask the Lord, not timidly, but ask with faith. Faith that he will listen and that he will act. And then get ready for the Lord's gracious will to be done. James, the Bible writer James, who's described as a brother of the Lord Jesus, who's in this room with the others, wrote this later. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone among you sick? He should call the elders of the church, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So confess your sins to one another and pray for one another in order that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is able to do much because it is effective. Pray, and pray boldly. And finally, putting all of my pride and my seeming intelligence aside, I can see that the disciples did this bold act of making Matthias the 12th disciple so that they could get to work. Once the Lord sent them his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and made it clear what they were to do, they were fully staffed and ready to go. Let's pray for that same thing. Let's prepare and ask. Ask the Lord that he make it clear to us what we are to do and to give us his Spirit and the will to do it. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.